The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. You're already in a war. It's time to fight. So fight in the realm you don't see for freedom in the one you do.
And a lot of what I think we're seeing happen politically, culturally, morally, socially, personally, even in the family, behind that, there is an enemy who is seeking to destroy people. And unless they know that their battle is part of the big battle, they're ill-equipped to fight the war that God has for them.
Mark and Grace Driscoll, next on Life Today.
I've got a really famous Christian representative, because I want to tell you something. He's gifted. I'm James Robinson. This is Betty. And we welcome you to Life Today. Mark Driscoll is here with his wife, Grace. And I think he'd probably tell you the grace that she's poured out ever since he met her is one of the strengths of his life.
Amen.
He's written a lot of really great books. I mean, he is a high impact person. And I think he's at a place, he's been making impact for a long time. He's been, in some ways, raising the dead. He's gotten people attention that didn't give attention often. Here's one I really like, Win Your War. There's a real war, but that war also becomes your war. Fight in the realm you don't see. Fight in the invisible realm. I really think there's more activity in the invisible realm than you could ever imagine. Just like there are hundreds of signals, both audio, radio signals, and TV video signals. You don't see them, but they're filling the room. And I think that's true in the spiritual realm, even in greater force. And then for freedom in the one you do, I think we can see the manifestation of the Lord in Jesus in that realm. Let's talk to Mark and Grace. Win Your War. Would you welcome Mark Driscoll, his wife Grace, right today?
Good to see you.
Okay, I like Scottsdale, I like Phoenix. I did two citywide crusades in the Coliseum. Yeah. They're dedicated to the churches.
I have the top off my Jeep so Jesus could see how happy I am to live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Absolutely.
Well, it is really, it's a great place.
And
a lot of incredible people. And you may even have a few of them come to your church that got saved in those crusades years ago. I love it. And Arizona, don't just have beautiful sunsets. Let the Lord arise and shine in you every day. Because he's given you so much, and you can help all of us. Okay, Mark, you are Grace take off on this Win Your War, and you wrote this book. And I feel like it was like a commission mission to write it. So take off on it.
Yeah, we wrote it as a married couple. If you think about it in the Bible, everything went south when a husband and a wife didn't stand for the Lord, and as a result, sin entered the world. And so as we were thinking about it, you know, even in trials in our life and things that we've been through, we've been married 26 years, we've got 5 kids, we've done ministry for over half of our adult lives as a senior pastor, and just started to think, okay, how important is it for us to stick together? Because Satan attacks relationships, and the first thing he attacks is your relationship with God, and then he attacks your relationship with your spouse, and then he goes for your kid. And that's Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4. That's just the storyline of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, let's write it together and stand together and talk about what spiritual warfare looks like in very practical terms as a mom and a dad and a husband and a wife. And so it's a really practical relational book. And I'm a Bible teacher. I preach through or taught through almost half of the books of the Bible, verse by verse. I've got a master's degree in Bible from a conservative Baptist seminary. And out of, 25 years of Bible teaching, I've come to some very strong conclusions about the unseen realm, the angelic, the demonic, other divine beings, and how that world and our world are one connection, two realms, but one reality. And a lot of what I think we're seeing happen politically, culturally, morally, socially, personally, even in the family, behind that, there is an enemy who is seeking to destroy people. And unless they know that their battle is part of the big battle, they're ill-equipped to fight the war that God has for them.
You think this invisible crafty, deceptive force. In many instances, really does have a yoke on people. It's almost like puppets on a string, mm-hmm. and they don't realize the force that's pulling them about and actually really holding them in a form of captivity and bondage, even as they're walking around. Do you see that as a very absolute reality?
Emotionally, you know, people can't heal from past hurts, or they can't get unstuck, or they're unsure of God's love for them or his forgiveness of them. There are all these ways that it manifests itself. Sometimes negative self-talk, you know, vain regrets and past mistakes. And Satan is always seeking to just destroy people. And some people are going to be hearing this, so they'll feel like they're under attack. Maybe they are. They may feel like somebody is plotting every day to undo everything I'm doing. Maybe there is. And the Bible says that that is an unseen realm that is just as real as the world we do see.
Do you think a lot of people don't recognize it as a spiritual war that's going on within us personally? They just feel defeated. Mm-hmm. They feel like there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, that's where we try and get really practical with examples. And it maybe will dawn on people, hopefully, oh, that's what that was. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't have a category for it yet. And then hopefully have tools as well in there to instruct them how to overcome that.
One of the most powerful statements that someone made to me when my life was transformed, because I was really, even as a very highly visible preacher, the enemy had a grip on me. He was jerking me around pretty good. And one of the things he said that was, I think, very, very powerfully profound, he said, all your thoughts are not your own.
Yeah.
And he connected that to the fiery darts of the enemy, which are certainly not Cupid-type, you know, evil arrows. But they are suggestions, and they're oftentimes crafty, subtle suggestions that can simply deceive you from the simplicity of devotion to Jesus, first love, or something else. You mentioned a moment ago your Bible Baptist background. Wouldn't you say that the enemy uses almost what becomes a tribal mentality to make us settle into the Bible Baptist part that could cut us off from the honing effect if we would even be willing to talk to other Christians that were not part of our tribe? Don't you think the enemy divides us? It's not a problem to have a heritage or a race or an ethnicity, but if you put a covering on your head other than Christ, it's truly a shame.
Yeah.
And so we don't need to let our tribe or our partisan view or our politics or anything get there. So I feel like you've been stretched beyond that tribe. Don't you think that what people are hearing a lot of times is a suggestion of the enemy, that if it lodges, it becomes fiery?
Yeah, and a lot of times, we talk about it in the book, it's in the second person. So Satan shows up to Adam and Eve and says, you, you, you. Shows up to Jesus, you, you, you. We tend to speak to ourselves in the first person, I. If you're hearing you, that is either God or Satan. Take what is said and then test it. And Jesus says you'll know the truth and the truth sets you free. Well, then the inverse is true, that a lie puts you in prison and bondage and shame. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, you know, that Satan is bilingual, but his native first language is lying. And for us, we have a first language, and we can do very well in that language, especially if it's someone's second or third language, but it's our primary language. His primary language is lying. And so he is always lying. And if we believe any of those lies, that's where the confusion sets in.
Now, you noticed the chapter in here, Betty, one of the headings that jumped out at you. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, it's the war within ourselves.
Yeah.
The relationship. And even that, doesn't that include about what you think about yourself? We're intimidated even by life itself.
Your relationship with self. Is that the one that jumped out?
Mm-hmm.
And it breaks down. Win the war against pride, against identity, the war against inner vows, against defilement, against demonic sickness. What would that be, demonic sickness? Is that illness actually too?
Yeah, actually physical illness and ailment and injury that sometimes is a
spirit
physical
of infirmity.
Manifestation of a spiritual attack.
Okay. How would you address that general heading, the war, you know, within yourself? How do you want people to see what you feel like they need to be awakened to?
Yeah, so we say the war comes, your relationship with God, your relationship with self, your relationship with others, your relationship with the church. So it's four categories. And if you want, you can answer that one, honey. You had a lot to say as we were sort of architecting the relationship with yourself piece.
Yeah, I mean, identity, he attacks us in the garden, the enemy did. And so from that point on, he challenged our identity and who we are. We were already created in God's image. So we just need to go with that. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we start to question that is when the enemy can creep in all kinds of different ways through lies and accusations, condemnation. There's now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But he gets us to to buy into those things. And so he can be obvious about it or he can be sneaky about it. And so that's where we need to be in touch with when he's saying, when that thought comes to our minds, is this something that the Lord would do to build us up so that we can glorify him? Or is this something that's tearing us down and we can't seem to get a hold on it? Because the enemy accuses, the Lord convicts, the Holy Spirit convicts so that we can change and grow to be more like him. And so if we're just burdened and our identity feels trapped in, you know, whatever, loneliness or anxiety or that we're a bad person or whatever general accusations, then we need to question who those accusations are.
You think the problem a lot of times if we feel like we deserve all those accusations?
Well, half times the accuser is saying something that's true, but Jesus already died for, is forgiven, and canceled the debt.
Right.
Colossians 2:13-15. Right. And so he's wanting you to pay for something that was already paid for.
Yeah.
And you look at it, you say, that's true, and something needs to be paid. Well, that's where we trust in the finished work of Jesus, and we just receive the gift of grace, and we walk in the freedom of God.
If you felt like you could put a trumpet to your lips, which you're doing it chapter by chapter and section by section, talking about this real war, I don't think there's a more important war for people to understand the reality of than this invisible realm of the spirit. The spirit realm is the most high-powered influence realm in the world, more than anything you see in the media
dominating
or you
politics,
hear.
Media,
period.
Entertainment.
But it's influencing these things you see.
Absolutely.
And the deceiver, in so many ways, is holding these people captive as though they are his actual instruments. So if you could put a trumpet to your lips, and so I wish the church would hear this in behalf of the culture, the garden we live in, where we have accountability and responsibility. But to answer this question, do you think that we have the right for any religious basis or scriptural basis to sit back and allow the enemy to trample the ground, to plunder the people, to defeat them, because we say it's just going to get worse and worse? I think that's the biggest pile of deception in the world. I don't think we give God's territory, our lives to them. And there's something wrong with me that I feel that way?
No, if you wake up in the morning and have hope because Jesus rose from the dead, I think you're going in the right direction. And, you know, greater is
the
he
enemy
who is
doesn't
in
have
you.
To rule in this lifetime.
No, he does not have to. Well, you know, what I would say is Colossians 2:13-15, that Jesus went to the cross. He died for all of the sin, the record of debt against us. He disarmed the principalities, powers, and spirits. It says he made an open public spectacle and shame of them. So the truth is we fight a dragon, but we fight a toothless dragon that's already been defeated.
Wow.
And our dragon slaying savior is going to come back and he is going to destroy the one that he has defeated.
Well, we don't have to let that toothless dragon prevail in so many areas that we're overseeing.
Absolutely.
In our family, our homes, our marriages, our schools,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, well, see, the Bible's, we get into this in the end. It's crazy what the Bible says, that we're made a little lower than the angels, but God has a destiny for his people that we will rule over angels.
Mm-hmm.
That means that we'll be handing out sentences to demons with the authority of Jesus Christ for all eternity, so we should start exercising that authority today, because it's the same authority that we have today that we have in eternity.
That's how you can rebuke him, is what Jesus did. And he told his disciples to do it. For heaven's sake, we're his disciples. Why don't we do it?
But see, a lot of times people will have struggles, but they don't understand their spirits behind the struggles. It's like the Bible says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. When fear, anxiety, worry comes, which is the number one category of prescription medication in America, antidepressants. When that comes, sometimes it's a spirit of fear. And the only way to wage that war is with prayer and with faith. It doesn't matter how many elections we hold, how many bodies we bury, how many degrees we confer, how many medications we prescribe, how many elections we hold, or how many congressional subcommittees we appoint. Nothing changes until people are filled with the Holy Spirit and submitted to a kingdom that rules over all nations.
And isn't that the kingdom we're supposed
That's
to be advancing?
That's the kingdom I'm a
isn't
citizen
Isn't that the
of.
Lord we're supposed to lift up high in our lives?
Amen.
Not just with our lips and our mouths and sitting in church like we're a religious lodge member. No.
No.
We're a member of the living body of Christ, more than conquerors, overcomers in his name. Let's get on with overcoming.
Yep.
Is any of that in his book?
That's the whole thing.
Get the book, for heaven's sake. Win the war. Why, it doesn't say he didn't write a book on lose the war. Jesus didn't say go out and lose. He said go out and be witnesses unto me.
Right.
You're
yep.
overcomers. I'm sorry. I need to calm
no,
down.
No. I agree. Well, and part of it is, too, we have this really bad teaching that says accept Jesus and you'll go to heaven when you die. And I'm like, accept Jesus and heaven will come to you before you die.
Yes.
Because Jesus isn't good just for death. He's good for every
right
step
now.
Of life.
Listen, I'm surrounded by so much heaven living with her. Look at what you're living. You live with Grace, for heaven's sake.
Now, her name is Grace. My initials are Mark Allen Driscoll, Mad. So if we ever have a conflict, you know it's Mad, not Grace. Yeah.
I'm telling you, here's the deal. If you see people get this book and take it home, what is the effect you pray for most of all in your heart?
I want God to unlock sections of their life that they did not believe could ever change. Mm-hmm. I think we have hope for others that sometimes we do not have for ourselves. Yeah. And we have faith for others that we do not have for ourselves. And I want God to use this book in a very practical way to unlock whether it's bitterness or hurt or lies or pride or inner vows or a father wound or church hurt or whatever the circumstances might be. I want God to heal that. I want God to free them. We want God to unleash them into the next season. And we want it to be one of peace and life and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because the only way to oppose all of these unholy spirits is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it means to live a spirit-filled life. It means to follow in the authority and example of Jesus with the joy that he has intended for those who are walking with him.
Yeah, he wanted heaven to come down, not hell to come up.
Yeah.
And I think you make that point real clear.
We say every day, the decisions you make either invite heaven down into your life or pull hell up into your life. And it's very practical. I'm not going to forgive them. You're pulling hell up. I will forgive them. I'm inviting heaven down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to believe a lie. I'm pulling hell up. I'm going to believe the truth. I'm pulling heaven down. It's every day, those decisions. We live in a world between two worlds, and the decisions we make invite one or the other.
Yeah.
We've got to get into the truth of God, which in my opinion, Mark, you've written a lot of best-selling books, a lot of great books, so God's given you a gift not only to preach, but to write. And I feel like you're trying to say to every person right now in America and every person in the church, let's win the real war, the invisible
absolutely.
Realm, and let the visible reality of a living God be seen by everybody. Is that bottom line?
100% hope? And deeply rooted in Bible, because sometimes when you talk about the supernatural, it gravitates towards cessationism or sensationalism. I want it to be biblical and supernatural. So there's 400 scripture references in there. It's deeply saturated in the Word of God, because the last thing you want to do when you're talking about the demonic is to say things that aren't true.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's part of the deception.
Don't you appreciate Mark Driscoll and his wife Grace? Been a real, real blessing for a long, long time, and this is fabulous. And I really hope you'll get it. It's in the books with Mark. One of the things that our viewers have shown us are glimpses of the glory of God, the grace of God, and his love and compassion. We found years ago, and actually I went overseas looking for people that needed to be free. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were in total bondage, their nation. And I saw the poor, but here's what I saw that was different. I saw love addressing the needs of the poor. And I saw those people being lifted out of that predicament of destruction. And when I found it, I said, I'm going to ask our viewers if they'd like to help. And you know what, amazingly? I'm talking amazing grace. I'm talking about the glory and grace of God through you. You have shown so many people all around the world who were overlooked and forgotten and never noticed. You have shown them the love of God. And you've saved their lives, and you've led them to Jesus by the millions. I want you to look and see. Just, you're going to see kind of a glimpse that's going to show you what hunger and need is and what love can do. You are the miracle. Yes, you are. Watch.
I've had many people just like you ask me many times, what does malnutrition look like? What does it do? Well, what you're seeing on your screen right now is probably the worst way for you to understand, but the easiest in many ways, is this comparison between two little children. These are two children that are both 2 months old. One that is just about the weight it should be for its age, and another that are 2 months old, fighting the struggle and losing it of life and death, weighs just on 3 pounds. We're doing whatever we can to save this child's life. We're bringing whatever we have, including asking God to perform a miracle. But I need you to understand that you can be that miracle. The miracle that stops this from happening, that breaks the cycle of malnutrition, poverty, of death. We can reach a mother like this and a child like this out there in their village. We can bring them mission feeding, where we give them life. Life in the form of a bowl of food each and every day. As believers, God has called us to this world for such a time as this, for a life like this, to bring what God instructs us to bring, and that is life.
For 20 years, Betty and I went all over the third world, looking at beautiful, heartbroken little moms like the one you saw there, praying over their children for a miracle. We held so many of them. We watched some of them die while we prayed over them and tried to comfort the mothers. I want you to know that I couldn't have kept going if I didn't know what love would do. And Betty, we couldn't have kept going year after year after year because it was very dangerous. You were hurt so bad riding on jump seats in the back of the little trucks where the roads have nothing but holes in them, and could have been paralyzed because you did such damage to your back. We wouldn't have kept going. We had known for certain not only that love works, it never fails, but that you would share it. Our viewers put God's arms around a lot of mothers and raised up a lot of little children like that because they cared enough to share.
They have, and thank you so much for that. There are many times when James and I, when we first started going to the mission field, we would see the lines of the children because some of them hadn't eaten for days and days, but they would line up so patiently, and I'd always peek around at the end of the line and hope, James, that we wouldn't run out of food, because we did sometimes. That last little one would get up there and we didn't have anything to give him, and break my heart. I'm so thankful that you have many times joined with us and said, we don't want you to run out anymore. Please continue to do that for us. Join with us, and let's have plenty of food for these precious little ones that deserve a chance in life.
One of the greatest prayers you ever prayed, and she shared it with you. She said, while I was there, I said, God, please let the line to help the children always be longer than the line of children needing help. And you became the answer to that prayer, and I'm asking you to do it again today. We need a miracle. We really do. People are finding so many reasons not to even like anybody or somebody that does something they don't understand, like praying for somebody they don't understand. It's so sad. That's the enemy trying to tear us apart. But Betty, you prayed for that, and our viewers became the answer to that prayer. Would you right now go online, or would you dial that phone number there that's always a prayer line? And would you go get your bank card and use it like a check? Could you make a gift to help us feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next month? Did you know you can feed 10 children for the next several months for $100? Where could you use $100 to feed 10 children for months? You can right here. 5 for $50, 3 for $30. That's not an exaggeration. It's not total child care. It's life-saving nourishment. And those missionaries not only show them the love of God, they point them to the source, Jesus. Would you right now please go online or dial the number, use that bank card like a check. We have some gifts to send you that'll bless you. Anthony Evans' CD altar is going to bless you. I promise you it will. And all the gifts that we offer exalt the Lord and give you a chance to testify. But you're giving the greatest gift. You're giving life. Thank you for making that gift.
Mission Feeding began with a promise to be there in times of crisis for thousands of hurting and hungry children in their time of need. Now more than ever, we need your help to save lives by feeding and caring for children across the continent of Africa. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish our supplies to reach the 400,000 children who are counting on us. Your gift of love can be the miracle answer to a desperate mother's prayer. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Altered Worship CD by Anthony Evans. This powerful full-length album includes unique versions of some of today's most cherished worship songs that are sure to uplift and inspire you. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Filled with Faith and Joy travel mug set. These 12-ounce mugs are crafted with large handles, double-layered insulation, and vacuum-sealed lids to prevent spills. Each mug includes a message to remind you of God's blessings and faithfulness. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, Safe in the Shepherd's Arms. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You're going to change somebody's life. You're going to give them life. And they're going to know it's because of the love of God. Altered. Anthony Evans. Boy, I tell you what, Tony Lewis Evans blessed us with Priscilla and this guy right here who can flat sing. Oh, my, it'll bless you. And the Filled with Faith cups and Filled with Joy. Let me tell you something else. If you say, you know what, I want to win the war. Because when you win this war, you set a lot of people free. You really do. If you'd like to have it, you say, would you send me the book that Mark and Grace Driscoll wrote? I'm telling you what, they didn't make a mistake. This is timely, biblical, powerful, has a transforming potential in your life and every life. So you help us feed those kids and say, would you send me that? You better believe we will. Tell your friends about it. Tell them to get it online or somewhere. Join us in thanking Mark and Grace for being here. We thank you both. Bless the church. Bless Trinity Church out there in Scottsdale. Bless Arizona. Bless the whole church all over the earth. Thank y'all for watching. Thank you for sharing life.
What's holding you back from forgiving others and yourself?
We don't want to go back to the place where we're stuck. We don't want to go back to that injury. We don't want to go back and ask for forgiveness.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.